Hey, good morning and happy Thanksgiving. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Thursday. This is Seattle Now. We're taking the holiday off, and I hope you are too. Today, a favorite story we told about a man named Dave and two killer whales.
I couldn't imagine it happening today because our southern residents, the orca that the Lummi view as family, are beloved. But up until 1976, you could capture killer whales, haul them off, and sell them to private theme parks. And if you've ever seen an orca show, there's a good chance that killer whale or its relatives came from here, captured from the Salish Sea. Nearly 300 were captured in this region. Many ended up in California, which is where this story begins.
Dawn, and another beautiful day, welcoming you to Marineland.
Marineland, like SeaWorld, was all about giving visitors an up-close view of ocean life.
Marineland is an unusual place. It lets us observe fascinating creatures who we otherwise may never have a chance to see.
Marineland was home to two killer whales, Orky and Corky, two northern resident orcas who were captured and sold to the park in Rancho Palos Verdes, a suburb south of Los Angeles. Orky and Corky were a big draw. The big draw. Fans came from everywhere to see the killer whales. Dave Mulligan was one of them. Dave was a longtime local. It was the mid-80s. Dave was 25, and at this point, he was staying with his mom.
I was a bit of a ne'er-do-well.
He felt adrift and wasn't really sure what his future held. And he'd spend time staring out from his mom's house at a perfect view of Marineland.
It was right in the center of our view. I was lucky enough to grow up in a place on the coast. We had over 180-degree view of the Pacific Ocean, Catalina Island right out there in the middle. And beneath that, on the edge of the peninsula, below our house, was Marineland.
One day, while staring out at that view, Dave came up with a great idea. Five friends, a fancy party, a hat tip to the good old days.
Well, it was a celebration of Dave, really. It was five Daves that had grown up together, and we wanted to reach back and sort of have a fun event about just the fact that five of us were all named Dave. So one of my buddies had a dinner at his house where he had grown up. His mom cooked it all for us, and that's where the night began, with a Dave dinner.
After dinner, they had a few drinks, and Dave, the main Dave of this story, had an idea.
At last call for alcohol, we got together, and I said, hey, let's relive the old days when we were kids and got in trouble, and let's go sneak into Marineland.
Sneaking into Marineland was something Dave had done many times when he was younger.
It was really fun to sneak in, jump the fence, and they had security that would cruise around with flashlights. And so it was, you know, like being in a movie, hiding in a bush as, you know, the security guard goes by with his flashlight panning around. And so we did that quite a few times.
So at 2 a.m, it was decided, and all five Daves snuck into Marineland. As main Dave headed to the orca tank, some of the other Daves had second thoughts.
One other Dave joined me down there, and the rest of the Daves fled into the night.
The two remaining Daves, undeterred, approached the orca tank, still in their celebratory dinner clothes.
We were wearing ties, and I was wearing penny loafers and slacks.
And then main Dave pulled out an old trick he knew from back in the day.
I wanted to do this thing that I had done when I was younger, and I put my hand under the water and snapped my fingers. And the two giant killer whales, it was Orky and Corky, a male and a female. Orky was the largest killer whale ever in captivity, over 30 feet long, just a massive, beautiful beast. And they both dropped beneath the surface and then showed up right in front of us with their mouths open, thinking they were going to get fed. But we didn't have any fish or anything, so we just started petting them.
These whales were familiar with humans and friendly, but Dave didn't stop there. And this part may sound crazy, but Dave says he and the whale connected.
And as I was petting it, I just had this sense like, I think it wants me to get on its back. I think it really wants some company. So I did it without even really announcing it. I just said, sort of went, here I go, and took a deep breath and got on. And my buddy Dave, he was like, Mullo, what are you doing, Mullo? So I was, you know, sort of hyperventilating a little bit, so excited. I looked back over my shoulder as this whale took off and went, started going around the tank. I looked back and said to the other Dave Berg, I said, get on the other one, get on the other one. So he did. And it just was sort of an exhilarating, spontaneous moment to get on.
Picture it. The two Daves riding Orky and Corky. Two men in suits and loafers and ties riding on the backs of killer whales in the middle of the night.
Well, sometimes they were moving very quickly, and other times they would just sort of loll around or roll over on their back.
Maybe it was the alcohol. Maybe it was the exuberance of youth. But the Daves were not afraid. They jumped off the whales, swam alongside them, got back on again.
Suddenly I realized, oh, this isn't Corky, this is Orky. So,
wow.
So we'd switch off and we'd stand on their back and surf, you know, pretending like, you know, putting the hands out like this and na 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 na. And then other times sitting back against the dorsal fin like it was a big lounge chair. And I remember one time saying, hey, Dave, I wonder what the other Daves are doing. And he just laughed. Oh, Molo, this is great. So we did. It was about a half an hour in the water, all speeds, all kind of, you know. Then the only time it was ever a little bit, not scary, but a little bit disconcerting, I'd say, floating there. And they were both gone. They were just underneath. And we couldn't see either one of them. And then I looked down and I could see just a big shadow and then a white patch. And then as it went by underneath me, just looking at me. And I thought, yeah, that's a giant killer whale right under me in the water.
Yeah. Yeah. Massive creature, Dave. Massive creature. Eventually, you guys were loud enough to attract some attention, right?
Yes. They heard laughter, and it was security. And it was a big security guard, a big heavyset guy. And he had with him a young gal. It was her first night. She was in training. So they heard laughter and he said, we have to go investigate that. What? There shouldn't be laughter at 2:30 in the morning coming from the killer whale arena. So I was standing up surfing on Orky, I believe, at that point, which is the male. And I suddenly heard this, get off the whale. And I looked up and there he was, the big fella, leaning over the side with his gun trained right on me. He had a pistol in his hand, holding it with both hands, and he was terrified. So, and I'm moving at this time, keep in mind. So we're going around the tank clockwise, in case you're keeping track. And he was jogging along the railing, leaning down with the gun pointed at me, screaming, get off the whale, get off the whale. And I said, okay, relax, relax. And I put my hands up, as you do. The other Dave had gotten off. He got off right at the platform because that's where he was when he heard the screaming and the officer, I guess you call him, the security guard. So he got right off, and they came down to the little ladder onto the platform, and I eventually got over there when Orky brought me over. I got off, and normally in those situations, when I'd get in trouble in those days, I would just run away. You know, there's no way this guy was going to catch me, but he was had his gun on me. And I didn't want to get shot over a killer whale ride. So I let him handcuff me. And Dave was already handcuffed. And so he went along with it. I let him cuff me. And then it was just chaos because he was on the radio. This is Bob. There are two swimmers in the killer whale tank. They're wearing ties. There and so it was like, what? Can you repeat that? You know, coming over the radio. And so they didn't know if it was a drowning, if there were more people in there, if anybody had been eaten. So it was just a helicopter showed up in about 8 minutes. From both sides, you could see we're out on a peninsula. You could see inland. You could see siren lights, hear them, and coming from both directions. And soon it was the cops and paramedics and firemen and a helicopter and then news. So it really, all hell broke loose.
So what was the fallout from your experience?
Well, legally, all I was charged with was trespassing. So the cops took us, and they didn't like us. For whatever reason, they were really pissed off. They thought it was really cocky or arrogant, and so they were rather abusive. So yeah, they took us in the back of the car, and they tried to, they were driving through a bumpy area called Portuguese Bend. a landslide area. So super bumpy, and they were hitting the bumps as hard as they could and just laughing. There were two deputies.
They're giving you the royal treatment.
Giving us the royal treatment, and they loved it. So then was, you know, we got and we were processed and put in a cell, and of course it was the old stereotypical, hey, what are you in for? Riding a killer whale. Oh, bullshit. You know, none of the other drunks or whatever they're in for believed us. But I smelled like seawater and whale poo, so it was... I think eventually it was convincing because I was soggy, my wool slacks.
Yeah, you probably smelled great because they are fragrant creatures.
Yeah, the water was, it's a bit pungent.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Dave, you wrote a memoir where you talked about this and you talked a little bit about the deeper motivation and one of the reasons you actually felt like you probably did this.
Yeah, well, it was after the death of my father, who my father and I were very close, and he was only 55 years old. He was a Hollywood writer, comedy writer, producer, and he passed away with no warning at 55. We actually have a condo we did up in Lake Tahoe, so he was up there on a date night with my mom, and she went out to get a pizza and came back, and he had left his body. So it's, you know, we're still dealing with it. But I think part of the reason I did that, I suppose, you know, it's easy to psychoanalyze in retrospect, but just acting out, being a prankster, missing my dad.
Do you follow the developments with the whales up here? Do you still follow killer whales?
Yeah. And I've read a lot about them. You know, people giving me gifts, even years later. Oh yeah, I heard about your killer whale thing. Have you ever read this? Or sending me links. So I understand, how they're studied, how they're followed, how their pods or families are given names and the characteristics of their tail, their or dorsal fins, all those things that I've since learned. And I might know some of that anyway, because again, I'm an animal lover and follower. Not certainly in any professional level, but just as an amateur, somebody who's curious about those things.
You know, Dave, it's so funny because there are so many ways to think about the things we did when we were young, but there are always greater truths in all of it, I think, for some of us, except at least in an examined life. What do you think about now when you think back about this time?
It's a good question. And, I know that I could have been injured. I know that, and people remind me that. But it was just reflective of who I was at that time. I was a little crazy. I was a little lost after the death of my father, and it was I guess a little bit of a pivotal point. And I think after that, I realized I got to make some changes. And I think it did help shape me. And I checked on Orky and Corky over the years. Orky, the big male, he passed away almost right away after being Marineland was sold. Just months after we did the ride, the fateful midnight ride, SeaWorld took possession of the two whales and put them in big trucks with tanks in the back, brought them down to San Diego, and Orky, he passed away soon thereafter. But I've thought about them many times, and I even wondered, perhaps selfishly, if they remembered us for that strange midnight ride, those crazy drunks in their neckties.
And penny loafers.
They were my father's, you know, part of that same story. I was wearing his shoes because I missed him.
Wow. Well, I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate your time as well. Thank you so much.
Dave Mulligan wrote about his experience in his memoir, Mulligan's Wake. A lot's changed since Dave's orca ride. For one thing, five white guys breaking into a theme park, having security pull a gun on them, and walking away with a fun story to tell on a podcast has all kinds of meaning in 2021. And thankfully, it's no longer the 80s, and it's not legal anymore to capture orcas here. That's thanks to activists who raised awareness to their plight, and of course, the love and adoration cultivated from seeing them up close. Orky was taken near British Columbia in 1968. He died not too long after Dave's encounter with him in 1988. Corky, a member of A5 pod of the Northern Residents, was captured at Pender Harbor in British Columbia in 1969. She's still alive and lives at SeaWorld in San Diego. Thanks for listening to Seattle Now. If you like this show, tell a friend about us or leave us a review. Caroline Chamberlain Gomez produced this episode. Our production team includes Claire McGrain, Diana Opong, Jenny Cecil Moore, and Jason Pagano. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. I'm Patricia Murphy.